Part 5. The Giants Who Built the Mount of Legend Land by Varius. As retold by Lioness. Recorded for LibriVox.org by Tim Lundeen. The Giants Who Built the Mount. St. Michael's Mount, that impressive castle-crowned pyramid of rock that rises from the waters of Mounts Bay, was not always an island. In fact, it is not always an island now. At low tide, you may reach it from the mainland along a causeway. But once upon a time, the mount stood in the midst of a forest. Its old name, Cara Claus in Cause, means the gray rock in the wood. And that was at the time when the giants built it. Cormoran was one of the giants. He lived in this great western forest, which is now swallowed up by the sea, and there he determined to erect for himself a stronghold that should rise well above the trees. So he set to work to collect huge stones from the neighboring granite hills, and his new home grew apace. But the labor of searching far afield for suitable stones, and of carrying them to the forest, and piling them one upon another, was a wearying task even for a giant, and as Cormoran grew tired, he forced his unfortunate giantess wife, Cormelian, to help him in his task, and to her he gave the most toilsome of the labor. Was there a gigantic boulder in a far part of the duchy that Cormoran coveted? Unhappy Cormelian was sent to fetch it, and she, like a dutiful wife, never complained, but went meekly about her work, collecting the finest and biggest stones and carrying them back to the forest in her apron. Meanwhile, Cormoran, growing more lazy, spent much of his time in sleep, waking up only very occasionally to admonish his wife or to incite her to greater efforts. One day, when Cormelian had been twice as far as the Bodmin Moors to fetch some particularly fine stones Cormoran had seen, and was about to set off on a third journey, she noticed her husband fast asleep, thought to save herself another weary walk by going only a short distance and breaking off some huge masses of greenstone rock which existed in the neighborhood, and placing them upon the nearly completed mount without being seen. Although Cormoran had insisted that the stone be gray, Cormelian could see no reason why one stone was not as good as another. So, carrying out her plan, she was returning with the first enormous piece of greenstone, walking ever so carefully so as not to awaken Cormoran, when, unfortunately, he did awake. He flew into a terrible rage on seeing how his wife was trying to delude him, and rising with a dreadful threat, he ran after her, overtaking her just before she reached the mount. Scolding her for her deceit, he gave her a terrific box on the ear. Poor Cormelian, in her fright, dropped the huge greenstone she was carrying and ran, sobbing from her angry husband, to seek refuge in the deepest part of the forest. And it was not until Cormoran himself had finished building the mount that she would return to him. And today, as you walk along the causeway from Marazion to St. Michael's Mount, you will see on your right hand an isolated mass of greenstone, the very rock that Cormelian dropped. It is called Chapel Rock now, because years and years afterwards, when pious monks lived upon the summit of the mount, and devout pilgrims used to visit their church to pay homage at a shrine, they built a little chapel upon poor Cormelian's green rock, of which only a few stones now remain. You may visit Chapel Rock and St. Michael's Mount from Penzance, which is between 3 and 4 miles away, and is the ideal center for some of the most wonderful scenery in Cornwall. Both Land's End and the Lizard are within easy reach of this, England's westernmost town, where a climate that rivals that of the Mediterranean may be enjoyed in the depth of winter. Semi-tropical flowers and trees bloom in the open, and in February and early March, in what is in fact winter weather for those in less favorable parts, Penzance and its neighborhood are surrounded by glorious spring flowers. the growing of which forms a very considerable industry. London and our other big towns often get their first glimpse of coming spring in the narcissi and wallflowers grown around the shores of Mounts Bay and packed off to the grim, cold cities only a few hours away. End of Part 5, The Giants Who Built the Mount. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. Recording by Tim Lundeen, out of Chicago, Illinois. timlundeen.voices.com.